Hello, I'm Paul Caffrey and this is the God Talk programme. For the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we will be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective. Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500 and we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com or you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk. You can also go to our companion website at God Talk Radio Blog at wordpress.com. So, unusually this week, Anthony is taking a break and I'm here on the studio, not quite on my own. Here with me, Barry Reynolds, an old friend of God Talk. Want to send out some greetings, first of all, to Mick O'Brien, to Chris and Susan, to Colin and Joyce, who I hope are listening in, to Francis, Ursula, John, Matthew and Lisa Fitzsimons. And a special thank you to the God Talk team, Paul and Gary, who's with us today in the studio, because unlike Anthony, I'm not a multitasker and I can't talk and do the controls at the same time. So here goes. Well, Barry, it's really good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Paul. I'm delighted to be here and even more delighted that after so many years, between 30 and 40 years, our paths cross again. And it's in those times, the Lord has been faithful to you and faithful to me.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to see.
It's wonderful to be here. And, you know, the funny thing is that listeners might be interested to know that it's probably half a lifetime since Barry and I had met. And, in fact, it's so bad that we had to exchange photos so that we'd recognise one another in the Northside shopping centre where we met for coffee before the programme. But, Barry, I hadn't heard anything of you for such a long time, and then I heard you with John on the programme. So you're an old friend of John Manning's.
Can you tell us something
about how you got to know John?
I would have met John through an organisation called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, that's FGB MFI. It's a big, long, windy word, but essentially what it is to get men together to talk about the Spirit of God, to talk about their faith and to support each other and to pray with each other and to hear each other's stories so that they may be encouraged in their normal work life as men and as husbands, as fathers, as businessmen, as in many cases grandfathers as well, so that they're able to walk a holy, healthy and happy life led by the Spirit.
Interesting, because a lot of the time people think religion is a woman's thing, isn't that right?
Yes.
That's kind of traditional.
That's true.
And so I think the origin, I did a little tiny bit of research on this, and I think the origin of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship was a man called Demas Shakarian.
Correct,
In the States, noticed that in a lot of the meetings he was organising kind of evangelistic crusades and so on, and he felt there were lots and lots of women, and the question was, well, where are the husbands, the boyfriends, the sons, the fathers, and so on, and he started these meetings specifically for men, isn't
that
right?
For men, correct, yeah.
So how did you get involved with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship? Well, what a mouthful that is.
It's a big long mouthful, but essentially it's just men getting together without their wives being there. Not that that's a bad thing, but then the men have to talk to each other and they have to relate to each other. How I got involved with it was at the time when the movement called the Charismatic Revival was hitting Ireland.
What year are we talking about?
That we're talking about 1972, 73, okay. 74, about that time. That's a long time ago. And maybe about 5 or 6 years after that, then a lot of churches began to grow up and people began to, the Full Gospel also started off and people got together, men got together and they had conferences and monthly meetings. And the monthly meetings were organised around a meal and then a talk and then people sharing their stories of how Jesus came into their lives and how the power of the Holy Spirit touched them and the love of the Father. And without giving any sermons, but just talking about their own personal stories. And people who were at the meal could listen to it and could believe or not believe. But the presence of the Holy Spirit was there and many people would have come to faith in Christ through that.
Okay. And what started you off on that? I mean, how did you end up? Your first meeting, what brought you there? Why did you go?
First meeting, it was kind of accidental in a way. And it was such a long time, I can't remember all the details. This I call a senior moment, but I used to play the guitar and sing in prayer meetings, and I was asked to come along to sort of do the worship at a Full Gospel Businessmen meeting, which I did, And that was a start of maybe a 10-15 year long experience, which was wonderful. And I met many wonderful men and also many wonderful women as well, whom you get to know in the heart, and you get to know them and love them, and you get to respect them, and they get to know and love and respect you. Mm-hmm. And they're a tremendous support, because their stories help me and my stories help them. And it's it was very healthy and whole.
Now, you mentioned charismatic there. You mentioned that word, and I'm sure there are lots of people listening that haven't the faintest idea what that's about.
Right, this belies my age.
Mine too, I have to say.
Excuse me. That started about 1972 or 1970 or 71. It was a long time back. But it was a genuine revival, in the sense that the Spirit of God broke in to people's lives. And it started off with out in South County Dublin. There was a seminary, the Holy Spirit Seminary, I think they called it. And a lot of novitiates there suddenly got released in the power of the Spirit. They felt the power of the Holy Spirit, just like as on the day of Pentecost, when the windows shook and the Holy Spirit came down on people in tongues of fire. They felt something similar. Even some of them, whether they were asleep in bed, they would wake up and start speaking in tongues. I mean, this was kind of a bit crazy. You don't pray for this sort of stuff, but it happens to you.
And did this just happen, or had they been looking for something? Had they been searching for something more? Were they somehow dissatisfied with the religious life that they had?
I think what they were, being novitiates as such, their hearts were open to new things. Mm-hmm. And they were open to the Spirit of God, maybe in a way which enabled the Spirit of God to touch them. And I think the charismatic also has started in the US at the same time.
Sure.
And I think one or two people came over to Ireland and spoke and preached and prayed with people, and it started from there. But then I went into a place called Eustace Street, which was a very old Quaker hall.
It's a Quaker meeting hall.
And it all started at the same time in UCD, where a group of students got together, and I was one of those group of students. So I just happened to, a friend of mine introduced me to it. I went along, and it was like coming home, and getting prayed with to what they called then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was just to be literally baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Getting prayed in that was a completely new experience, but it brought a dimension into my spiritual walk, into my life really, which wasn't there before. And I remember one day I did get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was like the previous day I was seeing everything in color. No, sorry, in black and white. And the day after, everything was in color. My life was changed. But then what happened as well is about 3 or 4 weeks later, the Holy Spirit started to move in my heart in a way where he was able to heal things, bring up hurts, bring up, difficulties in my life, and so that his love and his grace would touch it. So I started to become a transformed person.
It's interesting because the word baptism, of course, we talk here about looking at things from a biblical perspective, and in the scriptures we know what baptism in water is, and we know that in the early church people were literally dunked under the water.
Yeah, as was Jesus.
Yeah. As was Jesus, and many Christian churches, Baptist, Pentecostals, and in fact Eastern Orthodox still practice that. It's total baptism by immersion. But this isn't, there's no water involved in this.
There's no water involved. It's like, Jesus did talk, you'll be baptized in by the Spirit and fire.
That's right.
And it also came under the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But I won't go into all of that.
No, do.
But essentially it's something completely different. It's essentially the power. When we come to Christ, we receive the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. And what happens is our spirit and this Holy Spirit get mixed up together.
Okay.
And the Spirit actually guards us.
That's kind of a filling, is it?
It's sort of a filling. Like it's an infilling.
That somehow you open up and you just allow that space in
your
life.
You just allow that space in your life.
For God to come in by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And even now at the moment, at times when I sit down on my chair in the morning and I say, "Come Holy Spirit," and within 3 seconds I feel his presence. And it's like having a warm shower.
Okay.
And it's like as if all my own anxieties, my things you pick up over the day, over the night, wherever it is, it's like as if they're lifted off. And sometimes I can actually experience the presence of, I mean, I can experience the joy of Jesus and the peace of Jesus. This unnatural peace comes over me. I know it's his presence.
Okay. Now, it's interesting you say that the first time you went into Eustace Street to those meetings, and I remember those days too, because I had been reading my Bible. I knew my scriptures fairly well. But I still knew there was a dimension that was missing, that what I experienced week by week in church or in my own prayer life was not what I read in the New Testament. So I read the Acts of the Apostles and was kind of tantalizing because these people had a joy and clearly a personal experience of God that was something I hadn't had up to that point. And I can still remember friends had said, oh, won't you come in these charismatic meetings? And I thought, well, these people are a bit wacky, you know, flaky, wacky,
that's
whatever you want to say. And I'm not going to be, you won't catch me in there waving my hands in the air or speaking in funny languages or any of that stuff. But I suppose, as often happens, eventually curiosity gets the better of you. And I can still remember the first time going into that meeting room, and I think it held quite a few hundred.
Yes, it did.
It was just packed on a Friday night.
It was packed with people.
But there was an atmosphere, and I remember then when I heard people opening the scriptures, sharing things from the scriptures, or giving testimony to things that had happened in their own lives. I remember saying, if New Testament Christianity exists, this is it, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I kind of dabbled in that for a few years, would go in and out, but I still knew that most of the people there had an experience that I hadn't had. And it was sometime after that with Paul O'Higgins, who we had here, we interviewed him some weeks back, or some months back now on the program, and he was giving a retreat, and I was one of the retreatants. And I remember going to him actually for confession, but it wasn't like kneeling down on one side of him. We just sat side by side as you are now, and we talked, and I talked about, I suppose, the need I experienced in my own life for more reality, for the reality of Christ, that I wouldn't be just doing my best, but there'd be something more. And he prayed with me, and I still don't remember what he prayed, but I went home, and I remember feeling then this kind of something bubbling up from inside. And it's kind of like water again. And I remember Jesus said to the woman at the well, if anyone is thirsty, you know, he says, come to me, and from within his belly will flow rivers of living water. Or he said to the woman at the well, he says, if you asked me, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who you're talking to, you'd have asked me for living water, and I've given it to you. And it would, you wouldn't be ever thirsty again. Doesn't mean you ever wouldn't need to drink physical water or tea or coffee or beer, whatever it is you like. But that in a spiritual sense, there would be something that what you're talking about now, that at any given time you can just make space in your life, ask the Lord to come fill you and so on. And that the well is there.
Absolutely.
It's kind of bubbly.
And attached to the well is unconditional love. And the Lord's steadfast love for you, and his desire to actually meet you much more than your desire to meet him.
Okay.
And it's just that he breaks into your life, but he's a gentleman. He likes permission to do so. So if we ask, he will come. And I mean, but I got to know the whole spiritual walk a little bit topsy-turvy, because as an 8-year-old child, I was told about the person of Jesus, and he became a hero. I won't go into too much on that.
Okay.
But many years later then, obviously I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was a wonderful experience. But then I began to know all the theology behind Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And so I learned almost about the Jesus dying for our sins after I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't mind which order.
In fact, I think a lot of the time, I remember reading recently in the book of Acts, chapter 11, the church at Antioch, where people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they received the Spirit. And then, if you remember Barnabas then, he went off to Damascus, or to Tarsus rather, to find Paul.
Okay, which
and he brought him, and for a whole year they taught. So in some ways your mind has to catch up with your experience, that God comes in, and when Jesus met people, he met them at their point of need, whether it was blindness, whether it was leprosy, whether it was, you know, sin that, you know, that they couldn't deal with. And then afterwards, I think it's a whole lifetime of your understanding catching up with the experience. Okay. Great words there from the Ballymun Gospel Choir. I love those words. I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Amen.
That's an amen to that. Interesting, before, when I knew you were coming in today, Barry, I did a little bit of research on this man, Demas Shakarian, who started the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. And interesting, he was an Armenian, and they were living in Armenia, which is over there near Russia. In fact, at one stage, Turkey was part of the USSR at one stage. But in 1855, there was a move of God. We talked about a move of God in Dublin, this kind of a revival or visitation of God, something like a climatic change that came over the whole country. And it was Russians coming down over the mountains into Armenia. They were Russian Orthodox, but they were Pentecostal. So they were a bit like the charismatic folk we're talking about. Yes. They spoke in tongues, they prophesied. And there was a young boy among them, an 11-year-old, who in 1855 prophesied that there would be a great massacre, a great persecution of the Armenians in years to come. And he was middle-aged before it happened. He was 55, and he said to his people, the Pentecostal, the Christians there who are moving in these gifts of the Spirit, now is the time to move. They left Armenia, they crossed the ocean, went over the Atlantic, ended up on the west coast of North America. And they got out before the 1915 genocide, when the Turks slaughtered, like 1.5 million Armenians. Extraordinary thing.
But that's... it's amazing. I mean, the Spirit of God picked out this young boy, and many years later, they had the courage to move. But over all those times, they became familiar with the leading of the Holy Spirit to a degree that it became more uncomfortable to ignore it, even though the circumstances of the lives would rapidly change. I mean, to leave up everything and
they
to
left
go.
Everything, just took what they could carry.
They left everything behind. The whole lot left their country, their people, their cultures, everything, and just went to the United States.
But then they prospered there. God blessed them, and it was through that the full gospel came about. Interesting, a quotation that sort of hit me reading Demas Shakarian's book, talking about Pentecostalism in America in the 1950s.
Yes.
This was about 50 years after the Pentecostal revival in
Azusa Street.
He said, "For the fact was that the wind of Pentecost, which had blown out of Russia into Armenia nearly a century before, had dwindled by now into a denomination as rigid as any other. It was always this way. All through history, each fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit soon became, in human hands, a new orthodoxy. The great revival on Azusa Street, for example, here in this very city, Los Angeles, which started out in freedom and joy and a breaking down of barriers, had solidified by the 1940s into a number of self-contained churches who couldn't communicate even with each other, let alone the world as a whole." That's sad, but is that what happens typically after a revival of
visitation? From what I can gather, I mean, even reading back to the history of revivals as such, the power of the Holy Spirit initially, churches become organised, and I know with the charismatic revival as such, when it was in Eustace Street, it spread around the country very fast. But it's funny, the first place to actually lose or diminish the power of the Holy Spirit was Eustace Street. And my sort of story is that if the Holy Spirit took his bags, you know, packed his bags and left, nobody would notice he was missing.
Wow, it's scary, but it
happens. And when churches are, you know, become organized, leadership is set up, and whatever system they actually have, it's easy to ignore the dove, because the dove is the Holy Spirit.
And it is easily grieved. Somebody said, "It's really sad to be where God was."
It's sad to be where God was. Now, it doesn't mean that even in those situations that the Spirit of God is not moving, but he can't really find a place to land. He's a dove, and he can't find a place to land. But he will still hover, and he will use whatever means he can to reveal the goodness of Jesus, that the love of the Father, and his own power in transforming people's lives. I mean, this is a major, it's a mystery to me how in the midst of all these things, God can still work.
So where are we now, Barry? What do you
think?
Where
are we now? I mean, it's a strange, I mean, the culture has changed very much in the past 10 years or so. I remember talking to my wife's niece that we were going to a church, and we said we had, you know, Sunday school in the church. We taught kids about the Bible, about Jesus, about about the love of God so that they can be helped in their lives. And she said, that's wonderful. I'd love to get my kids into that, because she said, we've nothing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of parents, a lot of families are, I'm sure, are struggling to combat a culture of social media and the absence of a value system that they can hand over to their kids. In those situations, hearts cry out.
And so are we ready for another revival?
I think we're ready for another revival, but far be for me to be an expert, I'm not.
God is in control.
God is in
things.
Control.
So what can we do?
Yep. The only thing we can do is hunger and pray. And in our own hearts, we can say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, use me to reach out and to reach the gaps in people's lives and introduce the person of Jesus and the love of the Father, and especially to children.
Okay.
And it's a big challenge, but like everything else, we have to wait.
I think we're coming, our time as usual is catching up with us. And so I'm going to ask you, Barry, we usually end with a psalm, and I think you have a favourite psalm and you're going to read a few verses for us.
I will indeed. It's Psalm 103. I've read this many, many times, but sometimes the Spirit of God brings stuff out of it which I didn't even know was there, and it goes much, much deeper.
Okay.
And I'll just start. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. We'll just start in the middle of verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. And that fear is not the word afraid. It's the word respect. It's respect for a king. And as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. I mean, what's the distance between east and west? It's not measurable. He doesn't. Our transgressions are blotted out with the blood of Jesus. And as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows exactly where we are. We don't have to be religious. And in fact, in many ways, we can't be religious.
It's
we just have to be ourselves.
And he knows our need.
He knows our need. And later on, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, and those who keep His covenant. And the covenant is the love of Jesus for us and His death on the cross. And remember to do His commandments. The biggest commandment, as Jesus said, is love one another.
Okay.
The Lord has established a throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all.
Barry, thank you very much. It was great having you
in the
studio
today. Thank
you,
Paul. I really appreciate the space.
And I think there's more to talk about. We'll have you back again.
Absolutely.
And I want to say a special thank you to Gary on the controls here, who's kept us on time and kept everything running so smoothly. And a greeting to all our listeners. Do please get in touch. Remember, we have email. So if you want to email, it's nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com. So we'll hear you again next week. And hopefully Anthony will be back with us. God bless Barry.
God bless Paul. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Thank you, Gary, too.